Hey family, welcome to another edition of Cool Jazz Conversations. I'm your host, Marcella Shepard, the bass man, and we are kicking off the new year. Talking to a sister out of Woodstock, New York, the only person that I have ever met out of Woodstock, but I know there are more people from there, right? Of course there are. She is Billboard number one charting vocalist and songstress, Lindsay Webster. Lindsay, thank you for taking the time to hang out with us here on Cool Jazz Conversations. How you doing?
No, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm just happy to be here with you. Happy New Year. Starting the new year off right.
Happy New Year.
I just got back from my run. You
okay.
know, we're
Health
being
first.
Healthy. We're doing the good things.
So how did you bring in the new year?
Well, you want to know the truth? I was in bed and asleep by like 11:30.
Get out of here.
It's really? True. It's true. Mm-hmm.
So
I know.
Is that
you know,
typical?
Like, well, normally we're working. We're like playing somewhere. But right. But this year, you know, I wasn't doing anything. So we just made a nice dinner at home. We made some steaks,
nice.
Some grass-fed delicious steaks with some sweet potatoes, and man, it was, and had a nice bottle of wine.
My wife's preference is always to be home for New Year's Eve, and. It's my preference, too, because, you know, I don't want to be out there driving on the road with the crazies out there. So we had a nice, quiet evening in our pajamas, had some friends over, and, you know, we toasted, played some games, some left, right, center, some Uno flip, and it was a great gathering.
Yeah, that's the exactly. That's peaceful. Like, I already did all the going out and, you know, being one of the crazy people that you were just talking about.
Yeah. So are you a resolutioner or you just set up a goal list for the year?
Well, on New Year's Day, I just kind of like thought about all the things that I want to accomplish long term and some more short term things and just made a couple of lists. I mean, I've been kind of thinking about this towards the end of the year as well. You know, like last couple of weeks in December, just really thinking like, what can I do to set myself up so that on the first, I'm more capable of realistically getting places, you know, and it's just like little personal goals, like running 3 miles straight without stopping, or like long-term is like, you know, getting the studio, this office up a little more functional for the things that I want to do. You know, just kind of made a kind of a looser list, you know, but I've got like my, you know, like little other side goals along the way too. So.
Side goals are always great, just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been able to ride the waves, if you will, between smooth jazz and the adult contemporary genre, even pop, if you will. How have you been able to use that to your advantage?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I just love the music that like we make. My most recent album, Reasons, is like an all-time favorite. Like I listen to that one over and over again.
Oh, yeah?
I have a couple songs. I do. It's not the case with my other albums.
Okay.
And you know, I don't know. I think I just, how do I use it to my advantage? That's an interesting question. I don't know if I necessarily use it to my advantage or if it's just like something that happens. Like, I mean, I've been able to, you know, come out and play Capital Jazz Festival, and be down at the Seabreeze Jazz Festival. And, you know, that's like the best of like both worlds, you know, where like I'm seeing like legends at the Capital Jazz Festival from like, you know, the 90s, like 80s and all these incredible artists. And then I go and I see like more like the straight ahead jazz, like Jeff Lorber, you know, Paul Jackson Jr. is like, you know, he's playing down there. It's like, so I'm just using it to my advantage to that. Like, I'm just appreciating these experiences by being able to kind of fit into those worlds. And, you know, and my goal is to know that I always want more. So like, you know, just like trying to like, this next album that I'm actually writing for right now, Keith and I are going to be working with some other producers as well, just to kind of like get a little extra flavor.
Okay.
So we're going to like take it somewhere else. I don't know where. It's not going to be, it's not going to be anything that is so different that it's going to, like, we're not going to go all of a sudden like Ariana Grande pop or anything, you know what I mean? But like, we're trying to take it up a level. So
Now, see, that was one of the things I was going to ask you about was new music. And in fact, if you were going to be working with some other producers. So I'm glad to hear that you are. I'm wondering, I'm wondering if one of those producers, and I'm hoping better yet, that one of those producers lives in Connecticut without saying his name. No. You got to go to Connecticut.
Well, you have got to go. Well, let me know, man. Let me know what's up.
You got to go see Chris Big Dog Davis. You have got
Right on, Chris Big Dog Davis.
I'm telling you. I mean, first off, he's worked with damn near everybody on the Shinnecke roster, right? And the brother just keeps putting hit after hit after hit out there. And matter of fact, I think he just got his own deal with Trippin' and Rhythm, I believe, for a new album. So yeah, but you gotta connect. We're gonna connect you with the big
dog. I've crossed paths with him a few times at the Berks Jazz Festival. Yeah. And like, you know, he's everywhere pretty much. So yeah, it's always a pleasure. So that would be cool. That's a good idea.
Most definitely. So are you looking to produce something and have it out later this year, or are you looking more 2025?
I'm looking for 2024. It's a big year for me. Yeah. It's
claiming it out the gate. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, no, I just feel it, that it's like the energies are all shifting different ways, and you know, 2023 was a big year for me. So you know, I'm taking 2024 and I'm just like, okay, let's do it. I mean, every year, every day, really. And then that adds up to the year, you know, but really every day you just gotta, that's like my new year is every day. Like, okay, what can I do today to be better than yesterday, expand? And it doesn't always go like that. Some days you're like, well, it's not an expansion day. This is like a chill day.
But you know,
those are important.
I think a lot of people started having that mindset coming out of the pandemic, right? Because it forced all of us to kind of reevaluate where we were, what we're doing, what our outlook was for the future, you know, causing us to search within, if you will. What did Lindsay Webster learn about herself during the pandemic?
Well, you can hear all about that in my album Reasons. Literally, like, I wouldn't say that like it's like my pandemic album, because it doesn't really ever talk about, like, I don't know, it's just kind of like where I went in my journey, like, and it's like exactly, I've never written an album in time as things were happening. And I was just feeling like, and it was interesting talking about like ups and, like, in real time, like something would happen and I would go home and be like, write it, you know? Cause typically, like, I find myself writing about things that might've happened that I'm finally getting to like 4 years ago or 10 years ago, you know? And cause each song has its own little, it's like, I don't know, its own little kind of energy, and that's like inspired by something in that time that like brought it on. So, you know, sometimes things just don't come out for 5 years, whatever it is. So anyway, so like Reasons is kind of like was written, and like you said, in real time. And
it is your sixth album as a leader. For those that don't know, came out in 2022. I'm going to be honest with you, when I first went to play the Bad Boy, I was like, oh, Lindsay's doing a remake of Reasons. Okay, I know she's going to hit them high notes like Philip Bailey did. I was like, this is not Reasons. Okay, but yeah. But listen, it just as great, you know, the music on here. But for those who think it's a remake, it is not a remake of the Earth, Wind & Fire classic. But she has some heavy tunes on here. This is an album that we featured quite a bit on the Cool Jazz Countdown. Over the last year and a half, because it literally has been bouncing in and out of the top 10 of the smooth jazz charts for about a year and a half, which is, you know, crazy in itself. But you're featuring some incredible artists on here, Brian Culbertson, Nathan East, Randy Brecker, Nicholas Payton. And man, oh man, are you having a ball with all of these guys. So much so, I want to hop into one of the songs right now. This one kind of has a Quiet Storm vibe to it. Featuring Nathan East, Love of Your Life. What's your take on this song?
Oh my gosh. Well, that was one of those songs that I was like, you know, kind of hanging out with someone or whatever. And there was like those beginning feelings of like the kind of like the tension, like, because if you listen to the words, it's like it could be forever, but if not, whatever. Like, you know, it's like very beginning, new energies, like, and that was one of those songs where Keith had written, you know, the way we work is like Keith writes the music and he'll send it to me and I'll like play it in the car, play it while I'm running or whatever, try to see if I come up with something. And this one, I was like, oh, I love this song. And I knew that something amazing was there. And then I was just driving and I was like, da, 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 da. So it just like, and the lyrics came right away. And then, you know, like with each song, if there's going to be a solo or, you know, or not, but if there is going to be a solo, then, you know, I'm trying to think like what instrument makes the most sense first? Like, what do I hear, you know, and then try to think of who could come and contribute that element. So even though we have like a whole bunch of really cool guests, it wasn't like we made it, made the album like, oh, let's see how many like big people we could get, you know, on the album or how many names. Cause this is the most guests we've ever put on an album. Yeah, ever. And like, and also like they're legendary people, like unbelievably incredible talent, incredibly talented artists. And like, so even though it's like Nathan East, like he was just the perfect fit for that song. And he was also on the title track of the album, A Woman Like Me.
Yes.
And so, and that went so well. And I just love the way our it's like a duet, you know? And I love the way his sound fits into our music. It's just beautiful. His voice, his bass playing, you know. So we had him come back for another bass vocal duet kind of solo thing, and he killed it. So what can I say is that also this is our most recent single now. We just sent it out to radio.
Beautiful. See, so it's only right that we kick it off with this. This is Love of Your Life. Perfect. Take it from the album Reasons, the latest of vocalist Lindsey Webster, right here on Cool Jazz Conversations.
Keeps me in a dream.
Yes, I'm feeling the vibe on that one. I know you are as well. It is called Love of Your Life, featuring Nathan East on vocals, none other than Lindsey Webster, our special guest here as we kick off the new year on Cool Jazz Conversations. Lindsey, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but you know, you stay on the charts with your albums as well as your singles as well. The top 10 has always been kind of home for you, right? You've had the pleasure of having a couple of number ones as well. Billboard number one charting singles. Matter of fact, the first female jazz vocalist to do so since Sade. I mean, how did it feel having your name mentioned in the same breath as the legendary Sade?
It's, you know, dreams coming true, you know. I have had it in my heart since I was a little girl. I've had it in my mind's eye and my vision, just being on stages, singing for thousands and thousands of people. I have always envisioned that. Thank God I ever had that vision, because it stuck with me and I had maybe all the stars aligned in the right way. My parents were supportive of my music. They never told me I couldn't do it. They never told me I shouldn't do it. As a matter of fact, they when they saw that I truly loved it and I had a show of talent early on, they you know, they really helped me hone what I was doing by driving me to rehearsals, picking me up when I was doing extra credit after school orchestra, and just let me totally immerse. This is actually elementary school. Oh, wow. That it started, but yeah, and it went on. Like, I started playing the cello in third grade. Nice. And that was actually my main thing for years and years. So, you know, we would have like, there was, you know, a special after school orchestra if you excelled. And I was a member of that. I was a member of like three of those. I was really into it. Nice. All the while, I loved to sing. I loved to sing and I would write like little poetry and I loved lyrics. So growing up, yeah, I just was like, really showed so much interest early on. And so, you know, now I'm 35. Well, I'll be 36 this month. And happy so early to birthday. Thank you. Yeah, January 19th. Nice. So to have to be able to be on a chart, a Billboard chart that, you know, Sade was the only other vocalist to make it to number one, it is literally just kind of dreams coming true. And I think about how strongly I held on to my dreams when I was younger. And it really reminds me that I need to really hold on and keep your dreams coming, you know, like, because if I don't know, it's just sometimes you get off and the path is like this, but I just always really try to embrace envisioning what I want to see happening next and just you know, setting my direction there and then just letting the pieces fall together as long as my intention is set on a goal. And like, no matter how you get there, you like will get there. I believe that.
Well, it's important, number one, that you set those goals and have those dreams, because they keep you waking up.
That's
they
the
keep
first
you pushing
step.
On, right? They keep you doing the next thing when you're tired and don't feel like doing it. So for anybody listening out there, set the goals, keep dreaming, keep growing. My personal mantra is,
and
if
change
you're not growing,
them,
you're dying, right? So if you don't want to die, keep growing in every facet of your life. Keep growing. So you know, you talked about how you pressed on as a child with your dreams or what have you. How old were you when the vocal piece really started to stick with you?
Well, I always wanted to sing, like in orchestra. I would be like, oh, can I sing along to this? And they'll be like, no. You know, I'd be like, all right. And then like at chorus, like there was, you know, like I'm remembering like right now, I'm picturing myself back in like the fourth grade. And we would go to like, you know, music class at like 1:45 in the afternoon or whatever. And it was like an hour or something. And I think the teachers loved it because I would come in with like mixtapes and be like, can I play these amazing songs for the class? And the teachers are like, sure. And then I'll be like, how about I get up and sing a song? And then anyone else who wants to can get up and join in. And I would get up and do it, and then other kids would do it too.
Oh my gosh.
But like, I know. And like, but I was so excited. I loved it. Like, I couldn't wait for music class. I don't know. It was just like, always there. Music has just been a gift in my life, and I don't even know. Oh yeah, you asked me about when did singing really come into play.
Right, when did that stick? Yeah,
and that was the question. So that's like, it was, I think it was always there, and I was okay. Always trying to like exercise that part of my, you know, array of music that was going on in my head. And eventually Mr. Boyer came in, and he was our chorus teacher, and he also taught band, but I was an orchestra. So Mr. Boyer came in, and he, he really noticed my affinity for music, and he was one of the teachers who really was like, he was like, are you singing opera? And I was like, that's just a joke. And he was like, no, it's not. He was like, that's really good. I was like, no, that's a joke. Like, I don't like doing that. And he was like, I'm going to bring in a song. He's like, and I want you to learn it. And I want you to check this out. And it was Vivaldi. And I learned it. And like, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, that's like something that pretty much no one knows, is that like, I kind of can sing opera. I didn't stick with it. I'm sure any real opera singer would be like, you know, like, but like when I was younger, this one woman, she was a part of like the Metropolitan Opera in New York City.
Nice.
She heard me singing, and she was like, you need to seriously like be an opera singer. And I was like, I'm good. I was like, I need to hear some R&B. I need to hear some soul in here. Not that there's not. It's a classical world. I don't know. You know how it is. It's just a totally different thing.
Yeah.
So, but it's fun to sing like that. And the whole reason he ever found out that I had that voice is because I would like joke with my friends and be like, no! And he was like, wait, what?
So how many octaves is your voice?
Well, I think on a good day, I've got like five and a half.
Okay.
In there, because I can go pretty, pretty low. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can go like so like high, and I'm usually only like on stage, sometimes in the studio. I don't know, but it's just that moment where it's like, can you do it? And you go there and it's like, woo!
For those of you who are just joining us, we're on the line today with vocalist Lindsay Webster. She has a new album that's still new because the next one hasn't come out yet. So, right, it's still new. There's a new single coming out, matter of fact, that we just played. Anyway, I want to talk about the tune Wishing You Well, which kicks off with this incredible horn section, kind of has that Steely Dan vibe to it, if you will, and then it really moves to a nice head nod as well. Tell us about Wishing You Well.
Mm-hmm. So that song was like, I remember, so if you haven't already like heard me speak about the album before, Reasons is kind of, it's in two parts. And the album art, you see that part one is called Library Lane, and part two is called Moonlight Way. And so those are kind of like just little chapter names, if you will. And so Wish You Well, I remember I was talking to someone that I was dating, but it's all inspired by like basically dating in my hometown. And so Wish You Well, I had just had a conversation with this person, and I was like, wow, I was like, we don't even really like feel like friends anymore. And I was like, and I just remember saying some of the lyrics that ended up like being in the chorus. And I was like, oh, I was like, maybe that's good lyrics for this part of the song that, you know, I'm trying to wrap up here. And so, yeah, that was like, it was kind of like a conversation that I'd had with this person, but with a melody and with more eloquently stated words.
I was going to say, let's go ahead and listen to those eloquently stated words. Wish you well, although I just tried to rename the song, calling it Wishing You Well. But I guess at that point, you were wishing him well or vice versa. Anyway, Lindsay Webster.
Or I was hoping that one day I would wish him.
There it is. Wish you well, Lindsay Webster, right here on Cool Jazz Conversations. Bobbing your head right now. That one there is called Wish You Well. And that we are doing to you throughout the year here in 2024. The Bass Man is on the line today with vocalist Lindsay Webster talking about her album Reasons and a whole lot more. Lindsay, you mentioned that, you know, this is the most artist that you've ever featured on an album. And you're talking about this new project that you're going to be working on with other producers, but is there a working list of artists that you want to collaborate with on this new album?
Nope.
No.
There is not.
Okay.
Yeah, we literally like I feel like the song kind of brings like the guest if there's going to be one. You know what
gotcha.
I mean? Like we listen to the song and say, okay, I think here, like for instance, like take it back to the song I Didn't Mean It. when we decided to have Brian Culbertson, that only came because, well, as you know, Keith Pislattery, my partner, he plays the keyboards and he, you know, writes all the music for the songs that we have. So he'd written that and that in the intro line is like classic, and that was from the demo. Like we were like, this is so tasty, and then he was like, I don't even know what I played. He's like trying to like do it over. He's like I can't do this again. I'm like, so let's just keep the demo, you know, the demo keyboards. He was like, I'm down with that. And it really for me it was like a real like a tagline of the song, like the like I can't even do it. So and as everyone knows, Brian Culbertson is keyboard player, he's piano player. So, yeah.
And a
so I was, bing. So yes. I was like listening to a song. I was like, oh, I was like trumpet would be cool on this song. But then there was like Artie Trumpet on Stay With Me. I'm Okay hadn't even been written yet. So Nicholas Payton wasn't even a part of the picture at that point yet. So when I was talking about the trumpet and then I brought it up to my manager, Bud. And he was like, well, what about having Brian Culbertson? I was like, yeah. I was like, Keith already plays the keys. He was like, no. He was like, well, you're talking about the trumpet, but Brian plays trombone. And I was like, oh, snap. I was like, that's right. So Bud got in touch with Brian and he, you know, inquired, would you be interested in trying to, you know, lay some trombone down on this track. And he was like, I haven't played in a long time. He was like, I'm about to go on tour. He was like, I'm about to bring my trombone out. He says, so let me tell you how I feel when I get back from tour. And I was like, oh man, okay. So so he gets back, like it's like his tour ended on like November 27th or something. And and I was like, so how'd tour go? And he was like, I can do it. He's like, I'm gonna do it this weekend. He's like, and I'll send the track back to you. I was like, all right, cool. So he sends the track back like 2 days later and he did like a whole horn arrangement. He played the trumpet on there. He did trombone. We added sax on our end just to fill out the horn section vibe. And he did that trombone solo. And that's how it came to be. So as regarding artists for the next album, I have no idea. I gotta write these songs and see where they and see where they go, you know.
All I ask is that you leave a little interlude for me to talk on. That's all I ask.
Oh yeah, that's right, we have to get you on the album.
Yes, me talking, you singing in the background. I think it would be a beautiful marriage. Yeah. Of bass
and, I like that.
And alto together, it would truly be something nice. So yeah, so let's keep our minds open about that.
My mind is open. I like that.
Yes. So relationships, you just briefly talked about that. They're very important in any business, but definitely in this business, whether we're talking about your label, your fans, most definitely your band.
Yeah.
First off, talk about the relationship you have with your manager, Bud Harner, and how Bud catapulted things for you in your career.
I mean, Bud, like anyone who knows Bud, I think the first thing they say is like, he's such a nice guy, you know? And he really is. He's just easy to work with. He's got good ideas. He's like the mellow person. And he is always fighting for me. He's always on my side, looking to get me into something somewhere. If there's any opportunity, he's just been great. And he's really become family at this point. Known for since 2016, and we have so many mutual friends that are also great people. So it was just kind of like adding another person into the circle that was always meant to be there with Bud, you know?
I've known Bud probably 10 plus years, have never met him in person, but, you know,
wow.
The email and calls, he's always kept me up to date with the artists coming through his realm.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime I want to talk to somebody, he's always navigated that for me. So top-notch guy for sure. So hats off to them.
He really is. Yeah.
Give him a hug from the bass man for sure. In addition to your relationship with Bud, one of the key relationships for you both personally and musically, of course, is with your writing partner, Keith Slattery, right? And that relationship has taken so many different forms over the years. Share with us how the two of you have navigated this partnership over the years.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, Keith and I, like the music that we have been able to create together has been so unique.
Yeah.
You know, and people always like ask me like, well, how did you get into jazz? I'm like, honestly, that's kind of more Keith, because his musical background is jazz, classical. He loves R&B. So that's where we get all the vibes from, like all the, you know, where do you want to go? Reasons. It's like this like kind of like daydreamy, beautiful music. And that's right up my alley. Like I always, like I said, like they're like sing opera. I was like, no, let's go more in like a Destiny's Child vibe or you know, like Mariah. Like I was just always wanted to hear backgrounds and pretty light, airy vocals. That's why I love Mariah, because like, man, just so beautiful to listen to. So that's just like what I end up liking. And that's the music that I ended up gravitating towards. Cause I think it's, you know, it's just if there's a vibe, then I'm good, you know? And so Keith, like, he's just always been the vibe maker. And then together, like we get into the studio and then we think of different cool backgrounds to like elevate things or add interesting keyboard parts or talk about what instruments would, you know, would complement, you know, this one section. And together we have such great ideas. And like, the reason that we want to work with other like producers or just kind of like branch out is because, you know, at the end of the day, when you can go talk about relationships, like you go and you sit down with another entity, it can bring stuff out of you that you've never been able to really see before, you know? And while Keith and I have been pretty good at evolving naturally as a duo, you know, just with the suggestions of like from Bud and our label, you're like, you guys just might try it, you know? We're just seeing where it goes and seeing what some other flavors can do to kind of, like I said, branch us out also into into more of like more of the adult contemporary, like urban AC formats, you know, so we could get, you know, and yeah, it's great to have our music played on all sorts of radio stations. It's that is the goal, but like that's like a peripheral goal. Like really my goal is to just make music and let people hear it, and it's healing for me and it's healing for people. And I just feel like every time that I go and we do a show, say, and we get to do like a meet and greet, it is like one of the most important parts for me is getting to talk to people and just hearing like how our music has affected them on so many different levels. Some people say like, oh my gosh, like your music is the music that I unwind to at the end of the day. Mm. People have told us that it got them through, you know, health scares, divorces, death of loved ones, you know, cause it's like, I just love writing heartfelt music. And I think that that is what, is so exciting for me. And when I get to see the reaction of people like, oh, that song did exactly what I was hoping for it to do in that moment, you know? And just kind of getting people to think, and to kind of pull their own emotions out when they maybe need a little help, you know?
It's a beautiful thing for sure. And the music that you all have made up to this point has just been so awe-inspiring. So a great relationship that I'm glad to see is surviving, right? On the back end and continuing to flourish and grow. So hats off to both of you to have the level of maturity that you do to keep things moving, to keep the ball rolling, if you will, for yourselves, but definitely for us as well. For those who are just joining us, we're on the line with Lindsay Webster today. She has an incredible album called Reasons, some great balance on here, but then there's some mid-tempo and some funk on there as well. Let's hop into another groove right now. This one here is called Stay With Me, featuring the great trumpeter Randy Brecker, here on Cool Jazz Conversations.
So stay with me. What do you have to go? I don't want you to leave me.
Don't leave, yeah, I know.
And you really gotta know, oh. Don't wanna tie you down, just wanna chill and be around you. Doing that is so sweet when we do spend the time.
Spend a little time, yeah.
And if I came on too strong, it was enough long time to be alone. Came off a little too fast, but that's all in the past.
Try nothing,
baby. We'll never know.
Never know.
feel your sentiments, the passion when we intimate. Started so innocent, the options seem limitless. Usually I'm in the wind, trust issues I be dealing with. Often me and women getting caught in situationships. Something feeling different when I'm with you, but I still resist. Every time I feel your kiss, emotions in me start to shift. Then I start to question, is this destiny? Should we slow it down? Every time you come around, I'm thinking I should lock you down. Queen, you deserve that crown. Maybe I'm just too profound, too deep in my own thoughts, thinking I would let you down. Maybe all my doubts be the cause, you walking out the door. They say it's better to have love and lost than never love at all. Come on. I know we having good times, and I stay on your mind. But maybe this just ain't our time.
Oh, you gotta love it. It is Stay With Me, Lindsay Webster featuring the talented Randy Brecker, doing work on trumpet. Her latest album is called Reasons. You can check it out now. It is on Shaanicky Records. Incredible album. We're already looking forward to new music coming out from Lindsay, as she mentioned, coming out later on this year. Outside of this brand new album, what else does Lindsay Webster want to do?
In terms of things that I've always wanted to do, talk about producing, like Keith and I have always wanted to work with other artists in terms of like we produce them, you know? So that's kind of a goal, something I want to do, like in terms of like what, cause Keith and I have a company, Maxophone Music, and that's like, you know, like how we do business and everything. So we kind of have always envisioned part of our music partnership involving working with other artists and, seeing what we could do for them, because how cool would that be? I mean, I would love that, to work with different singers, and Keith, he can produce instrumentalists and I mean, I guess we both could, but I would be more of the singer specializer, working on like vocal. I specialize over here in the vocals and just like, coming up with songs for other artists.
Lindsay Webster, it is so good to see you again. I think last time I saw you, we were at Capital Jazz, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Was that this last summer?
That was this last summer. Yes, I was emceeing, and yes, and you performed. Yes, so always great to see you in person. Always great to hear you and play you. And I'm wishing you nothing but the best this year and beyond with this new album
that
you're going to be working on, as well as with Reasons. For those who are not in contact following you on social media so far, go ahead and put your social media and your website out there so that they can do so.
Sure. Yeah. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Lindsay Webster. My handle on Instagram is Lindsay Webs, because there's some like other Lindsay Webster that came before me. So, but my website, but the funny thing, the other Lindsay Webster, she is like a triathlete. Like she is like super amazing and like does like all those crazy Spartan races and stuff. But we kind of look alike. I'm not nearly as like diehard as she is. She's like, but people mistake us all the time.
Wow.
And it was, and we were on a cruise, and I think it was Dave Grusin, and he was like, I saw you on television. And I was like, no, I was like, no, because we kind of look alike too. Right. Like we're like kind of like Dill, and just like have like the brown hair, whatever. Like we kind of look alike. Hilarious. Anyway, I'm not that Lindsay Webster. So I'm Lindsay Webs on Instagram, Lindsay Webster on Facebook, and lindsaywebstermusic.com is my website.
Good stuff. Well, my dear, again, thank you for taking the time. I look forward to doing it again. Matter of fact, when the new album comes out, we'll bring you back on so that we can talk about it. All right?
That sounds perfect. That sounds amazing.
Good stuff. Well, family, that is going to do it for this edition of Cool Jazz Conversations. The program is a production of TVM Productions, broadcast from its home of WSSB 90.3 FM at South Carolina State University. You can catch the podcast of this program on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Alexa, Amazon, Player FM. We're pretty much everywhere you stream your music, all right? Or you can go directly to our podcast, cooljazzconversations.podbean.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Cool Jazz Conversations. Follow me at The Man With The Voice. Happy New Year to you. This is Marcella Shepard, the bass man. Until next time, peace.
Strong attraction.